We thank you, Father God, for revealing yourself to us through your word. We pray that we will hear your voice in the words shared today. May your Holy Spirit open our ears and our hearts to receive your word. May our offering this morning and every morning be used for your kingdom and for your glory. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Amen. I so appreciate all of you coming to the sermon, to the picnic last week where I was sharing, and I'm not sure if I was the very first female to preach last week inside that church, at least since Grant has been there. They have never had a woman at the pulpit, and some of you noticed and said to me, "Ooh, you were nervous." I was nervous. It's hard to be the first of anything, and I was thinking, and I don't know why I let myself go this way. You know, what if they're looking at how I'm dressed? Or what if they're, you know, they're going to super analyze my sermon? But so I let that consume me, and I did feel very nervous. And then all of a sudden, like I took a drink of water, and then all of a sudden, be thankful in all circumstances. I had the opportunity to share with three different churches, four different churches, about the Lord. And I just felt the calmness of the Lord as I was preaching, and it was comforting for me to have my homies there with me. So I appreciate you traveling to the church, and I appreciate your love and support and your prayers for me as I was sharing that morning. Oh, you're so kind. The beginning, I felt, was a little rough. But that, you know, maybe a little bit of evil, like tapping at the door. And I just was like, give thanks always. Give thanks always. Oh. It is my prayer that each of you have received the love of Christ. And in doing so, that you have felt the gift of spiritual energy. You see, there is power in the love of Jesus. As I work through my sermon today, you may need a pen or a pencil to record on your bulletin some verses and some quotes that you hear, so be prepared with a pen and a pencil. I'm going to start today, actually, with the Toss the Trinket story that I did share at the end of the sermon last week. We're going to refocus our minds. The late author Calvin Miller told the story of an old wooden dynamite box that had been among his collection of antiques. On top of the box were bold letters, and it was a warning of danger because the box had been made to hold dynamite. But Miller said that inside his antique dynamite box was nothing but a collection of nuts and bolts and other common paraphernalia. That's a description of too many Christians. We have been infused with the dynamite power of the resurrected Christ, and yet too often our lives are filled with rusted trinkets of the world instead of exploding with spiritual energy. If your spiritual passion is at a low web right now, go before God on your knees with his open word before you, and stay there until God reignites the flame, and then share the glow with other believers who need rekindling too. And if your spiritual passion is aflame right now, get on your knees and ask God to help you to keep it aflame. Resonated with me the week that I was preparing, and even this week. You see, when a believer lives with God's Spirit, it produces godly qualities as well as it brings honor to God. When each of us receives and accepts the love of Christ, we are gifted with spiritual energy. And I give thanks for the spiritual passion that resides in our hearts. And yet this week, I heard on the radio station that an average person will tell between 10 and 15 lies per week. I'm thinking they're white lies, right? And I heard people calling on the television, calling other people negative words because they didn't believe in the same philosophies. And then I heard people crying to see the unjust ways in which the world was treating their elderly parents. I even got beeped at this week for not driving as quickly as I should have when the light turned green. I found myself wondering, why, oh why, are these people wandering away from Jesus, especially if they are Christians? Why are they wandering from their identity in Jesus Christ? And I wondered if their trinkets in their dynamite box were taking too much space up and interfering with their faith walk. And then I thought, maybe I have trinkets. We're blessed that he favors us in spite of who we are. Amen. In spite of ourselves, God truly loves us. And he provides opportunity for us to be forgiven. And as believers, we learn to repent of sin and believe in the promises of the Bible. Every aspect of our lives and our conduct will continue to be shaped by God's word. Relying on God's word means trusting in him. God has a strategy for each of us as we move forward in times of uncertainty. I love that. He has a strategy for each of us. I am blessed. We are blessed. He has a strategy for us. I found joy when I was reading Colossians 1:6 this week. If you like this verse, you may want to write it down. Colossians 1:6. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Colossians 1:6. We may feel fear when we listen to the news. However, hold on to the hope and hold on to the joy that God is working in lives all over the world right now. So my trinket bag, I looked hard for a box, but I don't have an old rustic type box at my house. So in this trinket bag, there are a few nuts and bolts and paraphernalia that are part of my life. Some stuff in our trinket bags or boxes, we could agree, should stay in the box. Some stuff should be thrown away, and some stuff should be kept so that we are able to share meaningful stories with others. The first thing I have in my trinket box bag is Eeyore. Every person at some point will experience a form of sadness or depression. And you remember Eeyore goes, oh no, he's just sad all the time. Sometimes sadness builds slowly, and sometimes in darkness, it occurs pretty quickly. Did you know that our Lord does not regard depression or sadness as a sin? And he encourages us to respond to the depressed with tenderness, understanding, and compassion, just as Jesus had when he was walking on this earth, just as Jesus does from the heavens above. Psalm 43:5. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again. Psalm 43:5. Praise him. Find reasons and ways to praise him every day. I know I shared with you the story when I was going through a divorce or pondering the notion of having to go through a divorce, and I would stand in the pantry and I would just say, thank you for this toaster oven. Thank you for the spare boxes of tissues. Whatever was in that closet in the kitchen, I would give thanks for, just to shift my mind to get off the notion of sadness and sin and move to thankfulness. Thank you for the tissue boxes. Yes, I was there. We are loved unconditionally, and we need to run toward his loving arms, especially when we do not understand why we feel the way that we feel. My boss wasn't happy with me today. How do I get past that? Run to God with open arms. sadness and grief seep into our lives when we tend to look back at the things that we have lost. Well, I have this statue, and it reminds me that I am a mom of two boys, and I love my boys, and I'm so proud of my boys. They haven't chosen to follow Jesus yet, but they're open to listening about it, and they're so, so special to me. But there came a time where I saw this, and it would make me feel sad because they were definitely affected by the sadness I felt as I was going through a divorce. I felt sad. This should bring joy. And yet, I loved when they were smaller and we were a contented family. But as they got older and things were happening, it became difficult. So I would put this away. Psalm 42, verses 3-5. Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, "Where is the God? Where is this God of yours?" My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I would worry about all the words being said and the decisions being made. God was and is filled with mercy. I cannot say that one day would go by in my sadness where I didn't find a moment of peace just sitting in his word. I totally trusted the Lord, and you should too. Trust the Lord. As he can make our decisions turn into something very good. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. That's Romans 8:28. It might be tough now. Look ahead. Look ahead to the future. Pray for the future and know that good things will happen in the future. When we packed and unpacked to move into a new home, I found some things to help me to move on, look forward. One is a shoebox lid. And inside this shoebox lid, it says, "I love you, Mom. I love you forever and ever and ever, 100 times ever. Well, I guess you know what I mean. I love you. Love, Brad," one of my boys. Right? I'm worried about the things that are happening. I'm worried about them. And he wrote this in his shoebox. My other son, Matthew, I think it's okay to share that he's probably more Buddhist than Christian, but he knows more about the Bible than I think I do. He was in a college. He was in a comic book store, and he bought this for me. It's a plaque. And it says, "The Lord is with you wherever you go," Joshua 1:9. From a 19-year-old kid who may not believe in God, bought this and brought it home for me. Looking back at difficult times can be sad. It really wasn't healthy for me to look back. I continue to pray for my boys every day, and I know that God has us all in his hands. And I pray, too, that I may be better able to perhaps counsel other people who may be going through a similar experience. Be careful not to blame the Lord for our sadness. It can be difficult, as it is at that moment that we feel very tired and very alone. Will you be that person that calls that sad person or that person who is alone? That's one of our challenges as Christians. Reach out to somebody who is not feeling good about themselves. And we know that we are really never, ever alone. When we are at our weakest, we are able to open that door wider to the Lord's strength. That's what I was working on, always relying on his strength. And because of that, I was back in church. I went to a different church, and I was back in church, and I was faithfully reading my Bible and moving forward And maybe I had to go through all of that stuff to get me here. God is good. Matthew 11:28. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. I will give you rest." Look forward. Look forward. Give thanks for the good works that Jesus is accomplishing in each day of our lives. Those who are living for God are making a great impact for eternity. We are the ones whose Christian character is revealed at difficult times. Ponder this last week. During the tough times, were you the one revealing your Christian character? Or were you the one beeping at the pastor who didn't move at the green light? Right? That's something small and minimal, I know. But think about how you reacted to people this week. Were you a representative of Jesus' love? What is revealed within you when you are walking through deep waters? What is revealed within you when times are tough? Spiritual warfare exists because the evil in this world is determined to destroy our faith. And Jake spoke to that this morning. Destroying faith leads to sin. How will we respond to spiritual warfare with others or even within ourselves if we do not read God's word daily? We need to know of God's promises and share them with others. His words frighten Satan. Think, pause, and pray before sharing your words. Let your words be, your words and actions reveal Jesus in your heart. Others need to know. Sandra shared with the children about covering yourself with a suit of armor. Know your Bible. Be protected. I had gone to a women's conference, and one of the women there just came up and gave me a Jesus calling book. This is in my trinket box, only because I've read it and read it and read it, underlined it and read it again. Mine is at home. This is a different one. This book was given to me by someone who saw that I was sad. I didn't share with anyone at that point what was going on, and I was going to be sharing about my son having leukemia and what my family went through while he was being treated for leukemia. Truly special gift. As I was reading this, I honestly focused on listen. Listen for his word. The verses that I read shared reassurance and comfort to me. Again, was this book preparing me for this opportunity to be here at Wellspring? Ephesians 6:11. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Sandra's lesson with the children today. Ephesians 6:11. Do not rely on your own ability to defend yourself during times of struggle. I have a little broken cross. I'm not sure which little. I bought one of two different verses on two different crosses, and they were in the boys' room as we were moving and whatnot. Things got packed. Things got brought. Some of the boys took some of their things. This one ended up in my house. It has a little chip in the corner, and I just saw that and thought, you know, I'm broken. I'm broken, and he loves me. Jesus loves me. This reads, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Nehemiah 8:10. It's toward the end of that verse. I am broken, and Jesus loves me. This is on my bookshelf at home. Sometimes it gets pushed to the back, and then I bring it out front, and then it gets pushed to the back, and I bring it out front. The joy of the Lord is not a fleeting moment or a momentary moment. I also feel that because I'm caring for my parents, it's important for them to know that I find joy in the Lord. This joy helps to develop a type of soul strength. I read that while I was studying this week. Soul strength. That's what I want. That's what I pray for. When we embrace the joy of the Lord, we are embracing God. It is possible to experience joy in times of great pain and hardship. Don't allow disappointments to let you down. Cry out to the Lord. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 130, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 130, verses 1 through 8. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. That was 1 and 2. The psalmist knew that God would hear his voice. Theologian Charles Spurgeon has written, "It is better for our prayer to be heard than answered." It is better for our prayer to be heard than answered. If the Lord were to make an absolute promise to answer all of your requests, it might be rather a curse than a blessing. He answers in his time, in his way. God will offer direction and peace when we ask for our prayers to be heard. He hears our prayers. Verse 3 and 4. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. The Lord watches over us, and he is gracious. And he forgives each and every day. His forgiveness provides a sense of gratitude within each of us, and at times we may become overwhelmed by God's mercies as we become determined to be better. When you sin, ask for forgiveness, ask for strength, and move forward. Boyce has written, "You may not find forgiveness with other people. Your husband or your wife may not forgive you if you have wronged him or her. Your children may not forgive you. Your coworkers may not forgive you. You may not even be able to forgive yourself. There is one who will, and that one is God." Write down where you can see and reflect on it often. And this is what I want all of you to write down. This is from Boyce. Our God is a forgiving God. Our God is a forgiving God. Others may not forgive you in this humanly world, but God will forgive you. God will give you the opportunity to move forward, to shine with his light. Verses 5 and 6, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. While we wait for the Lord, find hope within God's promises. He promises, his promises are revealed in his word. Verses 7 and 8. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Here the psalmist is speaking to the people of God. The psalmist is waiting upon and trusting in the Lord. He was able to share his hope in the Lord with the people. His personal lessons could be applied to all nations. God would redeem and rescue the nation overwhelmed by their sins. God would provide for the community that cried out to him. Hold on to that. God will provide for the community that cries out to him. We don't know what the future holds, but God provides for each of us. God will hear us when we cry out to him in our darkest moments. It is in those moments that he joins us. Listen, listen, and you will know that he is with you. Allow your spiritual energy to lead you into prayer, to bring you to your Bible, to bring you to your knees, to bring you a moment where you can call a friend or a family member to share about the Lord's promises. God will bring you to give a little more to those who are in need. God will bring you and lead you to shine with the love of Jesus in your heart. No matter how difficult times may seem, your life will be more fulfilled when you exercise your gifts for God's glory and purpose. Treasure life's little pleasures. For some reason, when my mama gets on the phone and talks with May, she gets off the phone and she's got this smile because she had this little conversation with May. That's a little pleasure that she enjoys. When we sit down with my parents and we say grace together, that's a little pleasure that I feel every day. Treasure life's little pleasures. Allow the understanding of your sin and God's total forgiveness to grow your love for him. Life experiences help us to grow in maturity in Christ's love. Man, we need to continue to deepen our understanding of the gospel as our situations continue to change every day. Find peace in your personal transformation. It can be done. We are so blessed here at Wellspring because our Wellspring family is here for each of us. We are each willing to pray over and walk with our brothers and sisters through all of life's experiences. We are blessed with an almighty God whose love is unfailing. I encourage each of you to learn from what you may be carrying in your trunk of trinkets. Get rid of the unnecessary burdens that you may be hauling around with you. Perhaps with a change of attitude or with a Christian perspective, you can view some items differently. Eleanor Roosevelt has written, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop and look fear in the face. You are able to say to yourself, 'I have lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along.' You must do the thing you think you cannot do." With God as your Father, when you are filled with fear, turn to him. Run to him with open arms. Be aware of the Lord each day as he goes before us each day. Look to him in all circumstances. Talking with him will bring blessings that far outweigh any troubles that may appear. Be willing to depend on God for help and guidance. Here you go. Wake up. That's the hardest part of the day, right? Wake up, other than picking out clothing. Wake up daily with a passion for learning of the opportunities that will lead you to share about the good news of Jesus Christ. What will you do? What will you say to shine with the love of God? You are perfect in his sight. This mug reads, "The Lord will guide you always." It's Isaiah 58:11, and it was made at a remembrance day of rejoicing for my friend Carol, who passed away 5 years ago. Carol would come and pick me up for Bible studies. I'd say, "No, my boys aren't here, and it's kind of sad, and I had a tough day at work. I had to go grocery shopping. I'm so tired." And she'd say, "Nope, I'm coming to get you. She died in her late 50s from an aneurysm, but that woman shined with God's love. Remembering her brings me back to the Bible studies and brings me back to the notion that I was sad. And yet, in God's sight, I was pretty perfect. And I learned to keep looking forward while trusting in God. That's my bag of trinkets. God is good. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help us to listen and to know that we are loved, that we are perfectly made, and that we are accepted as we are in you. I am accepted as I am in you. St. Thomas Aquinas prayed, "Give me, O Lord, a steadfast heart, which no unworthy affection may drag downwards. Give me an unconquered heart, which no tribulation can wear out. Give me an upright heart, which no unworthy purpose may tempt aside. Bestow on me also, O Lord my God, understanding to know thee, diligence to seek thee, wisdom to find thee, and a faithfulness that may finally embrace thee." Amen.